RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. The Indonesian Ulama Council expected to coordinate with police before issuing edict. Indonesia monitoring developments in Syria, Vice President says. Now the news in detail. Police Chief General Tito Karnavian has lamented about raids conducted by mass organizations claiming to enforce the Indonesian Ulama Council edict on the ban on the use of Christmas attributes by Muslims and ban on coercion by companies against employees to wear Christmas attributes. He said that the council should be the one who disseminate the edict, not mass organization. He said that mass organizations should not take the law into their own hands if people voluntarily wear Christmas attributes. In a meeting with the MUI chairman, Ma'ruf Amin, Tito said that he expects the institution to coordinate with him before issuing future edicts. Going forward, he expects the MUI to coordinate with the police before issuing edicts in order to be made aware of particularly those relating to public order and security. Indonesia is continuously monitoring developments in Syria, especially Aleppo, within the ambit of its independent foreign policy and United Nations mandate, Vice President Yusuf Kala said in Jakarta Tuesday. Vice President also said the step taken by the Indonesian government through its representative in the UN General Assembly on Monday, December 19, to vote in favor of the resolution on the human rights situation in Syria was correct. He said Indonesia's decision was based on the urgency of the humanitarian situation in Syria. Earlier, the Indonesian public had been outraged by a picture that spread through social media showing that Indonesia had abstained during the vote. The Director General for Multilateral Relations of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Hassan Klaib, clarified that the photo being circulated on social media was from a vote on another issue and from a different UN forum. Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar-Diakudu and Swedish Defense Minister Carl Anders Peter Hosfis signed a Memorandum of Understanding in Defense Cooperation at Indonesian Defense Ministry in Jakarta Tuesday. Swedish Defense Minister Carl Anders Peter Hosfis said the defense cooperation is to strengthen the mutual understanding in the field of defense. He said transfer of technology and sharing information have become several main points of the cooperation.
Sweden and Indonesia have cooperated for many years, and I think that this memorandum of understanding can be the platform for the next step. In general terms, it can be about training, information sharing, technology transfer, and other things that we decide upon during the memorandum of understanding process.
Moreover, Carl Anders Peter Hosfis explained At the Memorandum of Understanding, the two defense ministers also talk about supporting and developing defense industry cooperation, military medicine, and military health services, as well as counter-terrorism. The Indonesian Ministry of Health of the Republic of Indonesia is committed to reducing maternal and child mortality rate in the country. This was said by Director of Family Health, Indonesian Ministry of Health, Annie Gustina, in a press conference ahead of Mother's Day on December 22nd. According to her, the mother and child mortality, especially during pregnancy, delivery, and post-birth in Indonesia, is still quite high. The result of inter-census population survey in 2015 showed the maternal mortality rate in Indonesia reached 305 per 100,000 live births. Therefore, Annie Gustina stressed the importance of support from various parties so that maternal and child mortality rates in the country can be lowered. In Indonesia, women who give birth every year are about 5 million. Our maternal mortality rate is 305 per 100,000 live births. So, we estimate that every year there are 4,000 women who died during pregnancy, delivery, and postpartum period. It needs a good synergy and harmonization among local government, private sector, and the academic community, for health may not be able to do it themselves. Furthermore, the Director of Family Health of Ministry of Health, Annie Gustina, conveyed maternal mortality rate in Indonesia is influenced by several factors such as geographical conditions, the low level of women's education, low nutrition and health stages, and lack of access to health services. As for the health stages of children under 5 years of age, according to Annie, though stagnant, child mortality in Indonesia has not shown a decrease. This, according to her, is influenced by nutritional problems, incomplete immunizations received by the toddlers, as well as problems of infants' growth and development. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. PT Pindad Indonesia has been able to produce main weaponry system which is approved internationally, even it has been used by many foreign countries. After meeting and signing Memorandum of Understanding with Swedish Defense Minister Carl Anders Peter Hofish at Indonesian Defense Ministry in Jakarta, Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Miza Triakudu on Tuesday said Indonesia offers Sweden to purchase main weaponry system made by PT Pindad. Indonesia will offer Sweden main weaponry system made by PT Pindad, although there have many countries which have ordered it. I have offered the main weaponry system made by PT Pindad to Malaysia and the Philippines and other countries. Maybe there has been dozen millions and even hundreds of millions ammunitions sent to many countries. In addition, Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Miza Triakudu also said Indonesia and Sweden increased mutually beneficial cooperation for two countries. He explained the political aspect and military became main discussion of the cooperation. Indonesia is optimistic it will be able to reduce maternal mortality in the country in accordance with the target of Sustainable Development Goal SDGs launched by the UN in 2030. According to the Director of Family Health of Healthy Ministry, Annie Gustina Tuesday in Jakarta, the current Indonesian government has prepared strategic measures so that the targets launched in the SDGs can be achieved. The Indonesian government in the National Medium-Term Development Plan until 2019 has targeted a reduction in maternal mortality by two-thirds of the current amount that reaches 305 deaths per 100,000 live births.
Target SDGs kita menurunkan 2/3 dari
the SDGs target is lowering two-thirds of maternal death so that it becomes 273 per 100,000 live births. We should be optimistic because it is now clearer, preventive, promotive, and we have also prepared the facilities. We have reviewed that the regulations has also been supportive. Besides being optimistic to reduce maternal mortality in the country, the Indonesian government is also targeting to increase maternal health so that they can produce intelligent and qualified children. According to Director of Family Health of Indonesian Ministry of Health, Eni Gustina, to achieve this, the Indonesian government is encouraging effort to healthy living society movement conducted jointly by all components of the nation. The movement is implemented to decrease the disease burden, improve the productivity of the population, reduce the healthcare cost burden, and suppress the increase of financial health spending. The last item. Indonesia and Bangladesh have agreed to strengthen bilateral cooperation, particularly with regard to regional issues. Cooperation between Indonesia and Bangladesh is more than bilateral interests, but it is also important to handle the issue of refugees in the region, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi said after holding bilateral talks with her Bangladeshi counterpart. After attending the ASEAN retreat in Yangon on Monday, December 19, Retno Marsudi held bilateral talks with Bangladeshi Foreign Minister Abdul Hasan Mahmud Ali in Dhaka on Tuesday, the Indonesian Foreign Ministry said in a press statement released the same day. At the meeting, the two foreign ministers discussed ways to enhance bilateral cooperation, particularly in the trade and investment field. As a chief of the Indian Ocean Rim Association for the 2016 to 2017 term, the Indonesian Foreign Minister appreciated the Bangladeshi government for its constant support for Indonesia's effort to strengthen cooperation among IORA member states. She had extended an invitation to IORA foreign ministers to attend a meeting to be held in March 2017. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The Indonesian Ulama Council expected to coordinate with police before issuing edict. Indonesia monitoring developments in Syria, Vice President Yusuf Kalla says. That was the news.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Diplomat Shooting in Turkey. Violence happened again in Turkey. If the normally incidents in Turkey lately were in the form of bomb blasts in public places, last Monday, December 19, it was a single shooting of a foreign diplomat. A victim was the ambassador of Russia in Turkey, Andrei Karlov, who was in the middle of giving a speech at the opening of the photo exhibitions Russia Through Turks' Eyes in Ankara. Although he had been rushed to the hospital, his life could not be saved. The gunman, who later identified as Mevlut Mert Altintas, a 22-year-old man who worked as a police officer in Ankara, did the shooting alone in the front of the audience, as confirmed by Mayor of Ankara. The Russian government called the shooting as an act of terrorism. Russian Foreign Ministry spokesman Maria Zakharova said Russia will fight terrorism tooth and nail. But since the culprit died at the scene after the shooting, it was difficult for the security forces to find out the motive of the heinous incident. However, the incident may be related to recent demonstrations in Turkey against the Russian intervention in Aleppo, Syria. When the incident occurred, Turkey was sending its foreign minister Mevlüt Cavusoglu to Moscow to meet the Russian and Iranian foreign ministers to discuss the situation in Syria. In spite of the shooting incident, Russia, however, still scheduled the meeting to go ahead. Presidents of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and Russian President Vladimir Putin condemned the shooting as an effort to undermine the Turkish-Russia relation. Erdogan accepted a Russian proposal to find out the mastermind of the shooting through a joint investigation team. For Turkey, this incident is a slap on the face following efforts to normalize bilateral relations after the recent Russian aircraft shooting incident by Turkey. Indeed, this has brought Turkey to be deemed as an unsafe due to acts of terror which have become more frequent there. Turkey is even considered not able to protect foreign diplomats who serve in the country. Attacks on foreign diplomats in Turkey can happen anywhere, including in Indonesia. Therefore, The Indonesian security forces need to be vigilant to improve the protections of foreign diplomatic missions. A diplomat is a representative of his government who must be protected for his safety in the country he is assigned. And this, of course, is the responsibility of the country concerned. Listener, that was commentary for today. I'm Dee Nugraha. Thank you for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Today in History. We start from an event which occurred on December 21, 1991. 11 from 15 former Socialist Republic of Soviet Union declared the establishment of Commonwealth of the Independent States. The Soviet Union is traditionally considered to be the successor of the Russian Empire and of its short-lived successor provisional government under Georgi Yegenchevich and then Alexander Kerensky. The last Russian Tsar, Nicholas II, ruled until March 1917 when the empire was overthrown and a short-lived Russian provisional government took power, the latter to be overthrown in November 1917 by Vladimir Lenin. From 1917 to 1922, the predecessor to the Soviet Union was the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic, which was an independent country as well as other Soviet republics at that time. The Soviet Union was officially established in December 1922 as the Union of the Russian, Ukrainian, Belarusian, and Transcaucasian Soviet Republics ruled by Bolshevik parties. On December 8, 1991, the presidents of Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus signed the Balefisa Accord, which declared the Soviet Union dissolved and established the Commonwealth of Independent States, CIS, in its place. While doubts remain over the authority of the Balefisa Accord to dissolve the Union, on December 21, 1991, the representatives of all Soviet republics except Georgia, including those republics that had signed the Balefisa Accord, signed the Alma-Ata Protocol, which confirmed the dismemberment and consequential extinction of the USSR and restated the establishment of the CIS. Next, on December 21, 1968, Apollo 8 launched to the Moon. Apollo 8, the second human space flight mission in the United States Apollo space program, was launched on December 21, 1968, and became the first manned spacecraft to leave Earth orbit, reach the Earth-Moon, orbit it, and return safely to Earth. The three astronaut crew, Commander Frank Bowman, Command Module Pilot James Lovell, and Lunar Module Pilot William Anders became the first human to travel beyond low Earth orbit, the first to see Earth as a whole planet, the first to directly see the far side of the Moon, and then the first to witness Earth rise. The 1968 mission, the third flight of the Saturn V rocket and that rocket's first manned launch, was also the first human spaceflight launched from the Kennedy Space Center, Florida, located adjacent to Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. Now we inform you the last event which occurred on December 21st, 1988, the Lockerbie bombing. Pan Am Flight 103 was a regularly scheduled Pan Am transatlantic flight from Frankfurt to Detroit via London and New York. On December 21, 1988, N-739PA, the aircraft operating the transatlantic leg of the route, was destroyed by a bomb, killing all 243 passengers and 16 crew in what became known as the Lockerbie bombing. Large sections of the aircraft crashed onto residential areas of Lockerbie, Scotland, killing 11 more people on the ground. Following a three-year joint investigation by Dumfries and Galloway Constabulary and the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, arrest warrants were issued for two Libyan nationals in November 1991. In 1999, Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi handed over the two men for trial at Camp Zeist, Netherlands, after protracted negotiations and UN sanctions. In 2001, Libyan intelligence officer Abdelbaset al-Megari was jailed for life after being found guilty of 270 counts of murder in connection with the bombing. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to today's edition of Voice Green entitled Indonesian Government Makes a Serious Effort to Lowering Millions of Hectares of Critical Land. The Indonesian government will continue to lower 24 million hectares of critical land nationally. From the total amount, 8 million hectares of land are located inside of forest area, and the remaining 16 million hectares are located in common area. The effort is being conducted in cooperation with a number of parties, the regional government, non-governmental organizations, companies, communities, and academians, including Gajah Mada University. The Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, outlined the project at a tree planting at the slope of Mount Merapi in the Serumbung sub-district, Magelang Region, on Saturday, December 17. The planting of trees at the slope of Mount Merapi was conducted by Gajah Mada University, UGM. The minister complemented many of the activities UGM has held in the past. Currently, there is a plan for Mount Merapi to become the center of science, laboratory research, and services in the area. The university has established cooperation with scientists from France and Germany in relation to the tree planting. Minister Siti Nurbaya also said that in Merapi, the ministries will especially guard the landscape because eruptions still occur frequently. The minister added, "The sand from Mount Merapi is known widely to have good quality, the number one in Indonesia and famous throughout the world. This should lead to the living standard of people in the surrounding area to increase. The area will also be developed into a tourism site and naturalist visits to the area should increase in 2017 and beyond." Meanwhile, the Deputy Director of Research and Service at Gajah Mada University, Budi Widodo, said that after building a river school, a movement created to mitigate disaster risk, the university will make Mount Merapi the center of their laboratory and research. Mount Merapi will become a mountain school. Budi Widodo also said that later, UGM will provide data recording and analysis technology so that the local people in Serumbung and Prone Disaster Area 3 can find rescue effort earlier. Listener, that was today's edition of Voice Green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Police Chief General Tito Karnavian has lamented about raids conducted by mass organizations claiming to enforce the Indonesian Ulama Council edict on the ban on the use of Christmas attributes by Muslims and ban on coercion by companies against employees to wear Christmas attributes. Indonesia is continuously monitoring developments in Syria, especially Aleppo, within the ambit of its independent foreign policy and United Nations mandate, Vice President Yusuf Kala said in Jakarta Tuesday. The step taken by the Indonesian government through its representative in the UN General Assembly on Monday, December 19, to vote in favor of the resolution on the human rights situation in Syria was correct. Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar Yaqudu and Swedish Defense Minister Karl Anders Peter Hultqvist signed a memorandum of understanding in defense cooperation at Indonesian Defense Ministry in Jakarta Tuesday. The Indonesian Ministry of Health of the Republic of Indonesia is committed to reducing maternal and child mortality rate in the country. This was said by the Director of Family Health, Indonesian Ministry of Health, Ani Kustina, in a press conference ahead of Mother's Day, December 22nd. PT Pindad Indonesia has been able to produce main weaponry system which is approved internationally, even it has been used by many foreign countries. Indonesia is optimistic it will be able to reduce maternal mortality in the country in accordance with the target of Sustainable Development Goal launched by the UN in 2030. According to the Director of Family Health of Health Ministry, Ani Gustina, Tuesday in Jakarta, the current Indonesian government has prepared strategic measures so that the targets launched in the SDGs can be achieved. Indonesia and Bangladesh have agreed to strengthen bilateral cooperation, particularly with regard to regional issues. Cooperation between Indonesia and Bangladesh is more than bilateral interests, but it is also important to handle the issue of refugees in the region, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said after holding bilateral talks with her Bangladeshi counterpart. Listener, that was news in brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is great to speak with you again during Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a traditional dance from Kalimantan. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia has many unique traditional dances. One of them is from Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan, the Radap Rahayu dance. This dance welcomes and honors guests. The Radap Rahayu dance begins with movements that emulate flying to symbolize angels ascending from the sky and is ended with the same movement to symbolize the angel return to the heaven. Radap Rahayu dancers wear yellow shawls, which are used to depict how beautiful an angel is. The dance is completed with cepu, a container of yellow rice and rampai flowers on the dancer's left hands. In the performance, the dancers are accompanied by music and song. Earlier, this dance served to refuse bad luck and to ask for safety for all dangers. The Radap Rahayu dance was previously performed at traditional events. Today, this dance is performed for people's entertainment. Listeners, the Radab Rahayu dance is taken from the word of Radab or beradab-adab, which means togetherness, while Rahayu means happiness or prosperity. According to the history, this dance came from Patih Lambung Mangkurat from his visit to the Majapahit kingdom. While on the Barito River, their ship crashed, so Patih Lambung Mangkurat asked God for help to keep them safe. Then seven angels came down to the ship and they held a beradab-adab ceremony. After the ship was saved, the angels returned to the heaven. Listeners, the Radab Rahayu dance is still performed in theaters in Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. There are additions to every performance in order to keep it interesting, but the dance does not depart from its original form. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Menepati Janji, which in English means keeping a promise. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say them slowly and you can repeat after me. Menepati janji. Menepati janji. In English, to keep a promise. Lulus ujian. Lulus ujian. In English, to pass examination. Sesuai janjiku. Sesuai janjiku. In accordance with my promise. Membelikan. Membelikan. To buy. Satu buah buku. Satu buah buku. A book. Cerita pendek. Cerita pendek. Short story. Pergi ke toko buku. Pergi ke toko buku. To go to a bookstore. Kapan? Kapan? When? Tentukan waktunya. Tentukan waktunya. To set the time. Menunggu. Menunggu. To wait for. Kabar. Kabar. News. Sampai ketemu nanti. Sampai ketemu nanti. See you. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Menepati Janji, or in English means keeping a promise. The conversation is between A. Danu and B. Aris. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Danu, hore, saya lulus ujian. Hore, saya lulus ujian. In English, hore, I passed the examination. B. Aris, sesuai janjiku, aku akan membelikan satu buah buku cerita pendek. Sesuai janjiku, aku akan membelikan satu buah buku cerita pendek. In English, as I promise you, I will buy a short story book for you. A. Danu, baiklah, dengan senang hati. Baiklah, dengan senang hati. In English, all right, with my pleasure. B. Aris, kapan kita pergi ke toko buku? Kapan kita pergi ke toko buku? In English, when will we go to the bookstore? A. Danu, ya, nanti saya tentukan waktunya. Ya, nanti saya tentukan waktunya. In English, yes, I will set the time then. B. Aris, saya tunggu kabar dari kamu. Saya tunggu kabar dari kamu. In English, call me, I'm waiting. A. Danu, baiklah, sampai ketemu nanti. Baiklah, sampai ketemu nanti. Okay, see you then. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again tomorrow and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce an Indonesian pop singer who also known as one of Indonesian diva, namely Ruth Sahanaya or Utek. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Kaulah Segalanya by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening. Listeners, you've just listened to the song Kaulah Segalanya. Together with her two colleagues, Chris Dayanti and Titi DJ, Ruth Sahanaya formed as the Three Diva. The name is very appropriate for them because the three famous singers have outstanding capability in the field of singing. Likewise, their songs are very popular in the country, even abroad. The relationship between Ute with Chris Dayanti and Titi DJ in the Three Diva brings more experience in her singing career. Ute, who is Ambon Bleed, since adolescence has often appeared to sing. She began her career in the Indonesian music industry in 1987 when she launched her first album entitled Kasih and sold out in the market. The name of Ruth Sahanaya or Ute more well known when she launched the song Kaulah Segalanya or You Are My Everything. Ute not only succeed in selling albums, but also achieved a lot of title in various festivals. Some festivals have been followed by Ute, included Midnight Sun Song Festival in Finland in 1992, received the title of Grand Prix winner, and became a guest vocalist in the concert of Mario Frangoli in Herod Atticus Acropolis, Athens, or Greece, on October 5-6, 2002, and she also performed in a duet with Mario's slow song Naturaleza Muerta. Ute also has a duet with Phil Perry in the East-West Collaboration in Peace event at Garuda Wisnu Kencana, Jimbaran, Bali, in December 2002. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Astaga by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening.
Sementara yang lainnya hidup seenaknya.
Listener, the song that you've just listened entitled Astaga by Ruth Sahanaya, Utek. The song is proven that Utek is not only succeeded in a medium slow beat, but she also favored in a rapid and dynamic music. Utek has held large concerts several times, such as the 25th anniversary concert in 2011. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last song entitled Bawalah Daku Pergi by Ruth Sahanaya. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Selamanya aku cinta kepadamu, aku rindu dipelukmu, namun ku keliru telah membunuh cinta dia dan dirimu. Aku cinta kepadamu, aku rindu dipelukmu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.